Today, the White House introduces a plan to create jobs in rural America.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. President Obama continues his road trip in Iowa today. Nearby, Republicans have been hammering the president about high unemployment. Well, today, Mr. Obama unveils a program that will double the money available for rural small businesses. Is it going to help? Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
The Obama administration says it'll commit $350 million to rural small businesses over the next 5 years. It'll try to connect small businesses with startup money and expand job search and training programs. On a conference call yesterday, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said the initiative is needed because
the unemployment rate historically has been higher in rural areas than in urban and suburban areas.
Administration officials wouldn't say how many jobs they expect this effort to produce. And Lloyd Chapman, president of the American Small Business League, isn't holding his breath.
Quite frankly, I think it's sort of statistically insignificant. It might help a little bit, but it's just another publicity stunt.
Census data shows only 16% of Americans live in rural areas. Chapman knows what he'd do to spur job creation.
You need to funnel massive amounts of infrastructure spending to the middle class and small businesses.
But he says the bulk of those businesses are in urban and suburban areas. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Over in Germany, the leader Angela Merkel is meeting with French President Nicolas Sarkozy today, the same day that they found out Germany's gross domestic product was up a disappointing 0.1%. Now, of course, the European debt crisis has been plaguing the continent. And one idea that's being tossed around is to allow euro countries to borrow money collectively in the form of a euro bond. From London, reporter Christopher Worth explains what that means.
As we're learning, governments tend to spend more than they take in. So in order to cover the extra spending, governments borrow money by issuing bonds. They're basically IOUs that say, don't worry, we'll pay you back. Banks in other countries are willing to take those IOUs with a little interest because they expect to be paid back. And that's why the European debt crisis is such a big problem. People who lent money to Greece, Ireland, and Portugal are worried those countries won't make good on their promises. So now Greece, Ireland, and Portugal have to pay more interest to convince lenders that the extra risk is worth it. Thus, the proposal for a Eurobond, issued by all 17 countries that use the euro as their currency. The idea is that more people would be willing to lend to a country like Greece if the loan is backstopped by a country like Germany.
Because Germany is guaranteeing those loans, and investors know that they should get their money back.
Jennifer McEwen is with Capital Economics. She says, in theory, the idea could go a long way in helping Europe deal with its debt problems.
However, I think most indications are that the German public just wouldn't accept it.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel is adamantly opposed to the idea because that would put German taxpayers directly on the hook for the debt of Greece and other struggling countries. But David Marsh, the author of the book The Euro, says Europe is at a crossroads. He says down one path is the unenviable idea of the Eurobond, which could drive up the borrowing cost for Germany, Europe's largest economy.
And down the other fork lies quite considerable chaos if the euro is forced to split up in coming years.
While Europe waits for Eurobonds, the European Central Bank is already stepping up to the plate. Last week, it bought over $30 billion in bonds from troubled countries, including Italy and Spain. That provided more demand for those bonds and, at least momentarily, reassured investors that those countries will pay back their IOUs. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are off right now, anywhere from a quarter of a percent to about a half a percent. The Dow down now 26 points at 11,456. NASDAQ down more than two-thirds of a percent right now. Fewer builders started construction on homes last month. The Commerce Department reported housing starts were down about a percent and a half in July.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
What seems like some encouraging news today on the state of personal finances, the level of credit card payments that were 90 days or more past due dropped to a 17-year low. That out today. Well, Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon is with us live in our Los Angeles studio with the latest on that story. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Steve.
So finally, seems like a real bright spot in the economy, given these hard times. I mean, how did we get ahead of our credit card debt?
Well, it's a combination of factors, according to the credit experts I've talked to this morning. We Americans have cut back on the number of cards in our wallets. We're more often paying as we go with debit cards. And, of course, the banks have tightened their credit standards. On the other hand, I talked this morning to Bankrate.com analyst Greg McBride, and he cautions that this isn't the all-clear signal on our overall debt. He reminded me that people tend to pay off their credit cards first.
Credit cards offer more payment flexibility than any of the other obligations, which helps them stay current on a credit card when they may be behind on a larger monthly payment like a mortgage or an auto loan.
All right. So we're paying our debt. Will that maybe spur some consumer spending, though, Bob?
Well, the analysts I spoke to this morning don't sound all that optimistic about that. Greg McBride says the hub of the wheel here is jobs. And if anything, analyst Nancy Bush at NAB Research says the shock of the last few weeks isn't helping with that.
You know, if you're not sure you're going to have a job in another year, then you probably are not going to go out and, you know, go woohoo and spend a lot on your credit card.
Woohoo. So look for Americans to stay tight-fisted, Steve. TransUnion, the credit reporting company that issued this new report, says it expects the delinquency rate to continue drifting lower.
All right. Marketplace's Bob Moon in our studio. Bob, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Good work this morning. We have special coverage, by the way, to explain the economic turmoil going on called The Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time. It's at Marketplace.org and, of course, later today on Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl. And finally, how's this for Hollywood customer service? A man and a woman saw actor Tom Hanks filling up his car at a gas station near L.A. They're starstruck. They bring up his latest movie, Larry Crown, and he asks them, what'd you think of the film? And they told him they didn't think it was that good, that they expected better from him. Here's what they didn't expect. Hanks reportedly reached into his pocket, gave the couple $25 to refund the price of the tickets. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
9% unemployment, symptom of a diseased but treatable economy, or the new thing?
I teach in a fairly affluent community, but there are still a lot of people who have lost work and are looking for work and have relocated for that, and often unsuccessfully.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Is 9% forever? The story next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.